Hello, and welcome into episode 35 of Bourbon and Bad Opinions, where what we're drinking is better than what we're thinking, especially today.
Actually, no, it's just the opposite.
It's the opposite today. Yeah. What we're drinking is worse than what we're thinking. Much worse. But we're going to get to that in a minute. But as always, I'm Carrie. I'm joined by Rob.
Hey.
Sean.
I'm dying over here.
Chad.
This is rough already.
And John.
Ahoy, hoy.
Ahoy, hoy.
Rough seas.
Well, so the weather's a little rough today. It's cold. It's raining, and you know,
you wouldn't say it's frightful.
It's February in Lexington.
Yeah, no, it's kind of disgusting. It's really drizzly. It seems to have picked up as far as the amount of rain, but it's not like a heavy rain, but it's just like a wet coating sort of rain.
Seattle rain is what it reminds me.
Well, yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, apparently everybody and their brother was wrecking up in here this morning.
Because there was ice.
Like, apparently there's ice just all over the place.
Yeah, I saw that on the news.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so here we are. And I'm not sure. This is going to be an interesting show. It definitely is.
This will probably qualify as the least amount we've ever consumed on this show.
It's possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. To talk about what's going on today, we're doing the Bourbon and Bad Opinions 15 and Under Bourbon Challenge. So, you know how everybody puts out those lists, and I was reading one the other day, and it was like the bottom shelf, or it was $15 and under, and there was, I think, 15 bourbons on there, and they ranked them 1 through 15. So I was like, you know, why don't we give that a shot? And here we are. So this is the deal. Everybody brought their own blind bourbon to the table. Of course, it needs to be 15 or under, and we're going to grade them out, and we're going to have a winner and probably what is going to be the worst bourbon on the table.
Well, and Rob totally conceived of this challenge, you know, he totally conceived of it. And, I got to give a shout out though to Jessie from down in Richmond who listens to us, who like encouraged us. She didn't even know that we were going to be doing this, but she's like, y'all got to do like a bad show. And I was like, it's coming. It's coming.
And I think the thing on this that I liked was it's scalable, that you can definitely go up on this. I just wanted to start.
That was not Chad this time.
Yeah. I just wanted to start like at the baseline of, is there even a really good $15 or under bourbon?
Right. And I tell you what, you really have gone all out on this. So we were all responsible for buying our own bottle of $15 and under. The only stipulation on the challenge was that it couldn't exceed $15, right? So that was kind of the only stipulation on the challenge.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was pretty much a free-for-all as to what you wanted to buy.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you know, I expected everybody to just find what they thought was going to be the best bourbon for that price, and just thought it would be a lot of fun.
But I see, and you were going for the best, but I think a couple of people at this table were like, I'm going to see gut that I can pick up.
Straight killer.
Well, we were talking right before it started, Carrie, John and I were talking that... you know, it's going to be funny if there's some duplicates here, because all four of these, except for the one that Rob brought, look identical.
Yes, they do.
They don't taste identical. They're definitely some train wrecks here, but we were kind of the same approach. Like every time I went to the liquor store, I thought it'd be easy, but I'm like, these bastards probably chose this because this looks awful. So I can't do that one. So like I like kept walking up and down the aisle just trying to figure out what we were going to get.
Yeah, similar. It's really hard to find that bottle. You think, oh, I'll just go pick up something. And then you're like, man, none of this looks really, really good. And I want to, you know, I want to try to bring something that's decent. And as we're seeing, that's really difficult.
Oh, I didn't approach it that way.
I didn't either. Yeah, Sean said I went straight killer.
Well, and of course, Rob had to go and bougie this right up. We don't call him Lil Bougie for nothing, right? So he made these fabulous cards.
And you will see those on the gram.
And I'll tell you what. So he's got all our nicknames on there, and they're really fabulous. So we've got lined up these plastic shot glasses, which really, you're not kidding, Chad. All the color on this looks the same. I will say, except for Rob's. Rob's is darker. Mine's lighter color. Yeah. So all four of us, Sean, Chad, John, and myself, kind of got things that are all similar color, and Rob is the darkest on the table.
Yeah, no, that's about right.
Yeah.
I feel like looking at these, this must be what the NCAA urine tester feels like. Like you go into work and you're like, this again, and I'm just looking at vials of different colored urine and thinking, when's lunch?
Well, and some of it does, I think, already taste like...
some of it, drinking urine could be better. I don't know.
That's the latest craze these days, isn't it? And like drinking urine the thing.
I've heard of people doing that. Yeah,
it's made several news outlets too.
Yeah, that's like supposed to replenish like athletically or something.
It's too concentrated. It's you can't do that. The acid counts and all that stuff would just crush you.
Well, then Bear Grylls, that's what he like.
Yeah,
and improvise, adapt, overcome.
Yeah, right.
And every survival book I've read after his says you do that, you're gonna die.
It's just because the salts?
The salts and the uric acid.
Uric acid.
It's going to crush you. I mean, you maybe boil it and collect it and get some of the water off of it. Down.
I mean, I would say if I'm buried after an earthquake in rubble, then that's the best choice you have. That could prolong the time that you're around. But bar
no
that, I mean, clearly we know now that all the scenarios he was put in were done for the purposes of the show. I'll say it like that. But yeah, I mean, if I were dying, or
I always heard that was a World War I thing too, right?
Yeah,
they did that.
Oh, in the trenches. Well, I mean, at that point, what could you do?
Yeah, well, it's good for athlete's foot. I do know that.
What like pouring urine on your
foot? Yeah, I've heard that.
For athlete's foot?
Yes,
really,
because it's a fungal infection. Well, this is an acidic.
You know, like the jelly or the jellyfish thing.
I was going to say, I think
same thing.
Is that real though?
Yeah, no, that's real. I've
done it.
Because sucking the poison, sucking
R. Kelly. Allegedly.
Oh my God! Why you gonna call me Ara?
But the sucking the poison out of the rattlesnake bite is false.
That's false.
Don't do that. Anyway, we've just gotten way off track already.
As far as the interwebs.
But Rob, explain the scoring system. We have a kind of a scoring system.
Yeah, we're going to kind of do it like golf. Low score wins. I don't know if any of these are actually, low scoring. But what we're going to do is everybody's going to grade out their bourbon. And then towards the end of the show, I'm going to take the cards up. And you score the best one, two, three, four being the worst. Once everybody kind of has their cards, they're going to hand them over. I'm going to count it up, and we're going to pick a winner, and hopefully we have the worst bourbon of it as well.
Yeah. Ooh, I like
there's
that.
There's definitely some IFSR on contenders here.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. It actually got better. I don't know that some of these structurally can even do that. Right?
No. Yeah, no.
They don't have the guts to get there.
And again, these could be blended. These could be whiskey. They're not necessarily bourbons. The one I brought was definitely a bourbon. And if they were going for kill shots, then we might have like Kentucky Gentleman or something like that. Or there's like a Heaven Hill that's just like it's a whiskey. There's some really bad. It's like a $7 whiskey. So we'll just see where it takes us.
All right. Well, I think this is going to be fun anyway. And you're probably going to hear some retching going on as we go.
There are no corks to be popped on these bottles.
No, there are definitely no corks to be
popped.
That
was actually one of the questions I wrote down. Did anyone have a cork?
Oh, I think these are all pure screw tops.
Yeah, mine is a screw top. Yeah. I would assume so based on the flavor I've got.
Mine is a pewter encrusted lion.
Did anyone?
It's bronzed.
Did anyone what?
Nobody had to stand in line for any of these.
Oh.
No.
There were no special releases.
There's no crowd.
In fact, they offered me like a case for the same price.
Although,
right there.
You know what? And again, I keep coming back to this, is the fact that if a certain person wrote about one of these and said that this is the greatest $15 bourbon or that you can get,
it'd be gone.
Price would go up $30. That's just how it is. So, but I honestly don't think even he would write about that.
To quote Anchorman, some of these smell like Bigfoot's dick. I mean, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I don't think they're that bad, but then
it's
again,
pungent.
I'm not sure what that smells like. But anyway,
it's sex panther
with real chunks of panther.
Well, to get off bad bourbon and onto good bourbon, Rob, you and Chad had quite a bourbon adventure this week, and I think John and Sean and I are definitely all jealous of what you got to do. We talked about a little bit about what you were going to do on the last show in terms of going to do some barrel picking at Old Forester, which is like Rob's Willy Wonka bourbon factory, right? That's his kind of what's the word I'm looking for here?
Nirvana.
There you go. Bourbon.
Yeah,
Nirvana.
No, it was. And I'll let Chad start out with the tasting a little bit of it. But just going there was really, really cool. I mean, it soups the nuts how the bourbon is made. You go in, you watch their video, as everybody has their video. They have a sliding door that takes you into into their
the vat room.
Yeah. And they have like three or four vats in there. Their mash really smelled great. I mean, and it's enclosed. It's a smaller space, so it's not like you're in one of these bigger distilleries to where it's getting out. So you really got all the smells. Like Chad said, you got some banana smell off it. You could
a lot of banana acid. Smelled great.
Actually. Yeah, you could definitely smell like the yeast and the beer to it.
And the thing I liked about that vat room is that they had it at different levels.
Yeah,
there were different stages of the of the aging. So you could go look at one tank that probably just been poured a day or two. You saw lots of bubbles. Mm-hmm. Yep. Then the tank, two tanks down, was almost done. It was like nothing going on in it.
So, Chad, you've obviously been on a couple of other barrel picks at Turkey. And where was the other one? It was Wild Turkey.
The last one I went to was at the Elijah Craig.
Elijah Craig. So how was this one? Was it similar? Was it different? Like, what were some of the nuances of this one?
It was completely different. But I would still give it an A+. Their barrel pick program was fun. Like, right, to finish up where Rob left off, I mean, after you leave the vat room, they actually do have a cooperage there, too. So they're actually putting the barrels together. That's and then the coolest thing I've ever seen, I've not seen anybody do this, but they'll actually let you fire a barrel, too.
Yeah. Was that not
really?
Awesome?
Really?
That's awesome. Yeah.
They trust you with that?
No, it's like, it's different process. Yeah, it's not like the, like you know, you would think with a wand where they're doing it. It's actually on a machine. They drop a barrel on there. And you hit a button. It's all conveyor belt.
Yeah, okay.
And so it moves over, and it gets on the flame, and it starts flaming, and it you know, and it
charted
has different stages. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah,
it charted for 34 seconds. Lady said it was a level 3 char, and you know, and then it goes on. They roll it around. They check it for impurities. They'll put in the cattails or things like that, and then they go ahead and start filling the barrels. You know, and so they said they did 14 barrels a day.
Yeah, so they've done this. Wow. You know, they've got their Chavalier facility, right? Yeah. Which probably does thousands on the magnet.
Right.
No.
But this, it's like they've just done this to give everybody the full picture, like from the beginning to the end. And they've put all this money into it. And it's a gorgeous facility.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But they're only putting out like 14 barrels, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That they're adding, like, it's like, what was the old joke when Eddie Murphy used to talk about... who was it? Johnny Carson's wife. Like, Johnny made $11 million. She's like, here's my $20, Johnny. It's our money.
Yeah, right.
It's such a weird thing to think about. And so they'll even do things like they've got a flatbed truck, like an old-timey.
Oh, yes.
Truck. Yeah.
And they'll put it on there, and they'll drive it around, you know, and they'll have a guy out there banging the drum, because, you know, beating the drum to drum up business. I mean, they've gone, like, full awesomeness with this.
They kind of went back to what they were saying was their roots on Whiskey Row back in the 1800s, trying to recreate some of that vibe, because, you know, it was important to them. When you get done with all of that, then you walk into their barrel house, and again, completely different experience, because it's not these rick houses that you see out in the fields. It's downtown. There's a couple pictures up on the Instagram. It's just really, it was gorgeous.
And you could walk down it. That was a nice thing when you take the ramp and you walk down it. It's like, if you've been to like the National Aquarium, it's kind of like that, except it's a sea of bourbon.
So no peeing behind a tree, Chad, this time?
No, none of that.
None of that.
It's too nice.
Yeah, and then as you're walking around, you know, we're walking around the Rick House, and then you see the table where our tasting is. They've got everything laid out. I mean, it's just a really cool presentation. I thought their presentation was outstanding in that regard.
Yeah, so it's like they've got a table there, and it's like they've got the setup. They've got like a little barrel stave with glasses on for all the barrels you're going to choose from. They've given everybody Moleskine notebooks to take notes with and a nice pen. It's in, you know, that's carafes of water. I mean, everything's really done really nicely. And the lady that's doing it is just fantastic. I mean, Jackie, I can't say enough things about how awesome and fun she made the experience.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like I said before, I even told her this. I was like, aside from Eddie, this is like the best one I've ever seen. It's just the way it's done, the intimacy of it, because it's almost like a scene at Top Chef. You're sitting at a small table together in this like Rick House. And then the craziest thing ever, though, so every barrel I've seen before, they pop the bung on it. Like they have a hammer and they pop the bung and they thief it out. Well, that's not how they do it there. It's awesome. So she takes a drill. I was wondering why she had a drill, and she drills the head of the barrel, leaving it flat, and sticks a carafe there in front of it and lets it fill up, right? And then she plugs it up like a little cedar cattail, whatever, and pounds it back in there.
Huh.
So wow. It's, yeah.
So now, was she the master distiller, or what was...
She's not the master distiller. Okay. She's like their, I guess, their master taster that they have.
Yeah, super taster.
Yeah, she's a, yeah, for that facility, mm-hmm. For Forrester.
Okay.
And she mainly works at the one downtown. Because when I took my tour, she was there working, and she was prepping for a tasting, because they said there was going to be a tasting a little bit later on that day. And she was also doing her samples, you know, checking how the bourbon was doing and those things.
Because it really, because Chad, I know when you went to Wild Turkey and Elijah Craig, that there was a big group of y'all that went, a pretty big group.
Right. Some of the Wild Turkeys ones I've been on, there have been like 10-ish people.
Okay,
yeah.
So how many people were at this one?
Six total?
Yeah, oh, six
wow.
total.
Wow, okay.
There was supposed to be a seventh, but there's only six in the tasting. Yeah.
And shout out to Josh Fowler for setting this up. I mean, he's with VBM out of Virginia. He set this all up so I could run this pick. It was flattering for him to do that. There was a guy there who's from Louisville, but he had lived in Richmond, mm-hmm. Virginia for a while, but he's back in Louisville, so he was there. There was another guy from Virginia,
yep.
And then the Old Forester rep from Virginia as well. So then there was three of us from Lexington.
Yeah, no, and it was, like Chad said, it was very intimate. It wasn't quite what you were expecting. I thought it was outstanding. Some funny things to kind of proof it down. It was very funny because everybody poured into their glass Karens, and then at one point, Jag was like, oh, you'll need to put about 50 drops of water in that to get it to where it needs to be because it was a big pour. And it was like, oh, 50 drops. He's no 50 full droppers of water to proof it down. So the proof.
I thought it was like 20. Oh. Yeah.
So the proof was, you know, going to be really high on the barrels that we picked. We had those five barrels. We got to pick three of the five.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was just kind of blindly. We had a little bit of a back and forth with Jackie to say, hey, these are kind of things that we're looking for. And she would kind of try to nudge you one direction or the other. You know, and then we picked three of the five.
So how did they determine the barrels that you all were going to try?
We eliminated one right off the bat.
Oh, really?
I mean, the ones that they were going to try, they just, I think Jackie helps in choosing those
okay.
in terms of like selecting from parts of the warehouse yeah. when they've reached maturation. And then they have them there and she, you know, we asked to do it blind. We didn't want to know because that's cute saying. People say, oh, sure. This is a 10-year-old yeah. versus a 6-year-old. People automatically think that's going to be the best. So she kind of gave us some, you know, she had asked us if we liked any recipes, and we told her, you know, like that we liked some K's and some O, not the recipes, but the warehouses.
The warehouses, yeah.
And then she kind of got us on which one she thinks, you know, kind of would be to our liking. And the one that we had all thought that we all wanted, if we were unanimous, that we wanted to try it, was the one that was going to be a bit different. So we got three, and we went through the first round. We all unilaterally, but as a group, just like completely.
Yeah, the third one. It was
just removed it.
Yeah.
Not that it was bad. It's just not. It wasn't to our liking. The mm-hmm. other two were far superior.
Yeah, no, it was very interesting. Again, like we've done on the show with other blinds of store picks, you could immediately when you taste that be like, oh, that's not something that I enjoy.
Yeah. So then she took the, you know, we got it down to where we were both fully confident in between the two. And it was kind of split. It was kind of about 3-3 or 4-2.
Yeah, it's around there.
I think it was 4-2 one way. So she proofed them down for us what they would be like at 90. Then we went back to it. And it's amazing how much it changed. Something that she meant that she mentioned, I guess we're totally fanboying talking about her, but something I never really considered, you know, I'd said, are you ever going to do this as a barrel strength, single barrel? And she's like, I wish I had a bell. And I was like, what do you mean a bell?
Yeah.
She's like, I'd like to hit the bell every time I've been asked that. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fair. She was not, you know, not mean-spirited.
Right.
Some of those things I like to have a dollar. But she mentioned something that I had never considered before. And as we all have talked about how much we love barrel-proof stuff here, she said the best place to taste whiskey is around 86 proof. And the reason that why a lot of people probably like barrel strength is that you don't notice any of the defects there, right?
Oh, wow.
You can't get the full taste. You don't notice any structural defects at barrel-proof. You know, and I would say that's probably true.
Is that because it blows your palate out, or?
Yeah, I think so.
It's just so strong.
It's so strong, and you can't get some of the oils and some of the esters,
right.
And you know, in the note. I can totally see that. It makes total sense.
Yeah, that does make
sense.
So
it's just, you know, you just put it out there, and you're gonna. It doesn't mean you're not enjoying it, but
I enjoy it. I'm there for life, yo.
But the craftsmanship is basically what she's saying is not there in the higher proofs.
Yeah,
right, and that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
But A+ to the listeners, if you all get a chance to go there, it's an awesome tour.
Yes,
yeah,
awesome facility, nice people, and if you ever get to do a barrel pick there, it's even better.
I've been on a lot of distillery tours in different countries, in different states. This was by far my favorite. I mean,
told you.
It was insane. And when we were coming out, I was talking to one of the brown foremen, and that's the Willy Wonka. He's like, this is like the Charlie Chocolate Factory of bourbon. It was so cool. So I can do nothing but say good things about it. And if you're in Louisville, go there and check it out.
What about the elevator ride down the steel? Is it like not the best thing when you turn around on tour?
It's a glass elevator.
And they say turn around and you just ride. It's Willy Wonka.
So a glass elevator. It is Willy Wonka.
Right down the steel is like.
And that incredible. Facility, when did that facility open?
Just last summer.
I was going to say it's not that old. Yeah, it's fairly new. It's a newer.
They told us about their column still. It's 40 feet, I think.
Yeah. Right.
And so they actually had not put the roof on the building. It didn't come in pieces. It came as one unit and they dropped it in place, then they added the roof to it after that when they were done. But it's crazy though to think that bourbon has gotten to the point where somebody can basically build a diorama of what large production scale distillery is like, but have it downtown, right? Yeah. You just put it right there, and you know.
And the other thing for me, like I said, you got to see other aspects, because mostly you go in, you have this conversation, you watch the video, you go to the vats, you go to the barrel house, you get the angel share, you're out. Yeah. And so you just got to see it a little bit more, and it was just really cool.
All right, well, cool. I'm super jealous. Chad, next time, I want to do one of these things.
We were talking about that. Yeah. I think we're going to do our own private pick.
Right? Yeah, we need to hook something up like that. Like, we need to do a group thing or something.
John's got big pharma money.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh.
That's why his nickname on the card is Big Pharma.
Big Pharma.
You know? That's right. You could reuse the barrels, too, for fusion beer.
That's true.
Yeah. That Mr. is like that. Mr. CFO.
Double dipping.
That is true. Well, and Rob, I'm very excited for you that you got to go to your happy place.
No, it was great. And, I mean, you know, this really started sometime last summer when I got that Old Forester single barrel that was just so outstanding. It was great. Thanks, Chad. Shout out to Paul. I know we were going to get that to later, but he came with us and it was really fun. Great guy. So, yeah. And thanks for driving, Jay.
All right. Well, there you go. Cool. Cool, cool, cool. Well, y'all didn't pay for this in Bitcoin, did you?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good, because our first kind of, I guess, topic nonsense that we're going to get to, besides this just ridiculously bad bourbon that we're all drinking right now, is so there's a digital exchange in Canada, and they supposedly, now I say supposedly because before we started recording, I was given new information about this that I did not know. Supposedly loses $137 million because the founder died and took the password to the grave, and it was a cold, what they call a cold wallet, I guess, is what this stuff was sitting in, and nobody knew the password, and they couldn't unencrypt it, and apparently the guy died. But Chad, you gave me some new information.
Yeah, see, I've heard that the follow-up on that is that, you know, what's the saying, you can't be retroactively paranoid, right? So if you're ever going to have OPSEC, like your operational security, you need to start from day one or day zero, really, to think about what your master plan is going to be, so that you make mistakes. But apparently that there's some boards out there that have lit up that said that, you know, he's left cookie trail that, crumb trail that he's actually really alive and tried to make off or get out of the country or where, you know, but allegedly, who knows?
Yeah,
right?
No, and it's again with the digital currency. And I suppose with any banking, you could probably pull away bits and chunks of people's money, but you know, it's just so interesting that to even possibly think that, oh, you've got this money invested or stored somewhere that you have no access to. And if the person did actually die, it's just gone money. I mean, there is just, for me, it's insanity.
I mean, I do think it's something to think about in terms of where should we just really start burying all our money in the backyard in a coffee can? I mean, to tell you the truth, I'm not kidding.
Put it in gold bullion and keep it. Get some of the soft coins that you can shave off and have a good scale.
You're not allowed to have gold bullion, though, are you?
We're not going to talk about that, Jack.
Allegedly. But see, my thing has always been, you want gold, and you want as much gold as you can get. And John disagrees with me on this.
No. There's two things. You want gold, you want ammunition, and you want Glock magazines. Because Glock is the most ubiquitous handgun on the planet, so that's a lot of trading that you can do.
Could you just have the
Did we just slip into prepper paranoia?
Yeah, we did.
Something just happened there.
We did. Like, you know,
we did. Just like, because of my whole thing is gold will trade. Gold will trade. And John, him and I have actually gone round and round about this. It like even way before this show even started.
And you're still wrong.
No, I'm not.
You are.
In a post-apocalyptic society, gold is worthless.
Oh, I disagree.
I'd rather have a nickel and a wish. Right.
We have definitive proof. If you look at the unfortunate events of Katrina, you realize that what became most valuable were bottled water and jeans.
Yeah.
Like, gold is one thing. Somebody dug it out of the earth. We ascribe it value in a society like this, but it's no different than gravel or belly button lint or whatever you want to do. Earwax. You could actually say that earwax is valuable because it's just, we ascribe that. The bottom line is, when it comes to survival scenario, which is what we've discussed, fresh water, clothing, that kind of thing. It's goes back to Maslow's hierarchy.
And antibiotics are like gold. Crazy people have even bought like fish
antibiotics.
Fish mocks.
No, I think that's mostly true. You know, I think it depends on how you're looking at it. I think to Sean's point, you know, it might be nice to have some nine shells around.
22 also, yeah. 22 long rifle.
But basically anything that is material value that can't keep you alive just becomes a weight around your neck.
But then Bitcoin is even more useless than gold.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, of course
some
it
people,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
It's zeros and ones. I mean, the minute the power goes out, Bitcoin doesn't exist anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
No. Right. Yeah.
So. No, I still.
In a post-apocalyptic, yeah, it's useless, right?
Right.
Unless you're going to crank up a generator to get on. Well, then the rest of the exchanges wouldn't do it. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I think you would have to, what would happen in this scenario for me is something else would be ascribed value. It might be bourbon. Because, you know, you
or pharmaceutical.
Yeah,
people
something.
That have access
oh,
to
you know,
farm,
the, you
yeah.
know the thing
yeah,
I've heard
but it
a
wouldn't
lot
be
about?
Gold.
Sanitary napkins and birth control.
That's smart. That
yeah.
is
yeah.
That is smart.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think gold exists for the current environment.
But I think it's, well, I'm not even going to get into it because John and I are always going to disagree on this.
Gary's got a bad opinion on this.
No,
Gary's
going
to be the only one like on the scene of the Walking Dead walking over like gold bars.
Damn right. Yeah. Damn right.
I'm grabbing the oatmeal.
Yeah, well, exactly. I will tell you all this. At the when I got LASIK surgery, which has been one of the best decisions that I ever made, is the fact that when I thought about it and I was thinking about getting, I was like, you know what? Once the apocalypse hits, I don't have to have glasses or contacts to worry about.
I've thought about that. And
no, that's a good point.
And to everybody else's point, what I would do is grab shoes and clothing, things that definitely shoes because you can't make those. I think we've lost our cobbler skills, I believe. So things like that would be important.
Well, I think the bottom line and coming kind of back around to the whole story is don't put your money, all your money, into something that somebody can either take off with the password or die, and it's gone. It's
exactly.
just gone. Yeah. So yeah. I think that's.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, I think I'll share that opinion anyway. Well, I guess if you had access to your Bitcoin, you could still buy a house. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, they're you can buy anything.
So, this and shout out to. Oh my God! I'm blanking on his name. In Nebraska.
Oh, Adam?
Adam yeah. in Nebraska, because we had been talking about this story, but he was like, topic, and I was like, okay, yeah, we'll get to it. So anyway, in Pennsylvania, you could buy a house, and actually a five-bedroom house for $750,000. So a real estate agent in Pennsylvania listed a five-bedroom house for $750,000. And of course, they had to include pictures because that's what you do when you're listing a house, right? And the pictures happened to include an amenity of the house.
Yeah.
I would call it an amenity.
I like that word, amenity.
Amenity,
you're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
Oh,
that's
and
a feature.
I actually think I may have a title in my head for this episode, too.
That'll eat through the table.
Yeah. Rob just spilled one of Sean's portions here. Just don't get it on the equipment. We'll be good. Anyway,
die.
It had an amenity of a sex dungeon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which actually, you know, to tell you the truth, I kind of commend the real estate agent for taking pictures and showing. And I kind of read some other articles. Like I read an interview with the real estate agent.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
And
too.
The real estate agent I was given this listing and it was really quick. Like, and I was like, they were like driving or something like that. And, you know, they wanted to get it up. They wanted to get it listed because I guess the seller wanted to get it sold fairly quickly or something like that.
Kristen, what's his name from 50 Shades is trying to run
right
the
and
SEC.
But when the real estate agent saw the pictures or whatever, they were well aware of what it was.
Yeah.
But I commend the real estate agent for letting people out there know.
No. Yeah, it's a great business plan.
Yeah, I was
right?
gonna say it's the ultimate marketing coup.
Right.
It's perfect.
I mean, it's hilarious.
For the readers that don't know, the guy had decided to kind of sublet or what do they call it?
Do we read a podcast or listen to a podcast?
What's that?
You said for the readers
I
who
read
don't know.
Whatever. Yeah, for our listeners.
It was an Airbnb
so where people could go there and take a week and have their fantasies kind of a la 50 Shades style, right? Which if the market's there,
I'm going to tell you right now, $750,000 for that house, because that house was a nice house.
It was a nice house.
And where it was, that was a steal.
I'm telling you, it was a deal. And I got to say, as far as what I know about sex dungeons and what you would think of a sex dungeon, clean,
yeah.
Well,
why was
lit?
It white?
Yeah,
yeah.
Painted. It was very well lit. It was well lit.
Yes.
And actually,
it was almost inviting. It was, you know, it wasn't as intimidating as you. Yeah, because I would think, you know,
black walls, red carpet,
you know, it's something crazy.
But see, I think that's the brilliant stroke of genius in the whole thing. You made it very hygienic, because if the premise is that it's going to be something that's rented on a regular basis, then you're going to have people in and out. And if you're into that group thing, I would think that then by its very nature, I'm going to think, oh, there's a lot of people that I don't want to be exchanging fluids with. So by making it hospital clean and making it very, the idea was it seemed to be very clean, so that I felt like I was the first person to have been strung up in that particular place.
It's like, if I'm gonna be hung and, like, you know, be put in crazy positions, you know, in some masochistic type thing, I think, you know, a sterile place is kind of it. You know, where they put a breaker bar on me, whatever those things are called.
Oh, my God.
Well, we're not going to get too deep into that part, but...
I kind of like the stockade at the end of the bed was a nice touch.
The cage under the bed was the best touch.
I miss that. Yeah,
it must have gone really deep.
Well, but I'm telling you what, if you were just glancing through those pictures, honest to God, you kind of had to stop and say, am I looking what I'm looking? Because it was so well lit. It was so well decorated.
No, yeah.
It was tasteful.
Well, it was nicely staged.
Well, and this is what I'm looking like.
It's all about staging. Yeah.
As Chad alluded to, it's kind of the suburban 50 Shades of Grey wife that's like, oh, well, this might be fun and interesting. You know, I thought it was a great selling point for that.
And also from a exploratory deal, you got to think, if you're going to go down to that lifestyle, you want to see if you and your partner like it. What better way is to go spend like a week at this Airbnb, see if you really like it, instead of like investing in all this equipment that you didn't got to sell.
Right.
It's right there. So, yeah.
Turns out I don't like being choked out and punched in the mouth.
Exactly.
I'm glad we didn't buy the whole dungeon, right?
Exactly.
Hey, but two things on that. So, one, I had heard another follow-up article on it, because it was real interesting. Shout out to Chris Bartlett. He'd actually, one of our listeners, he'd sent that to me via text, and we've been talking about it as a group.
Yeah.
The neighbors apparently are really pissed off about it, right? That's what
I heard that.
They going on there.
Right.
And they were like, you know, they were against it.
They were hiding there. Again, that's what that was.
For me, this gets back to all of our conversations. If it's two adults doing their business, two or three adults, four or five, six adults.
There's no limit.
Yeah, there's adults. And you just go at it, and your neighbors shouldn't care.
No, and if you're, as long as you're not causing havoc and traffic back up in the neighborhood.
Which evidently that open house did, because everybody wanted to see we're all voyeurs.
I think I've read things about Christmas decorations causing more havoc in neighborhoods than that thing probably ever did. But no, I just got to give props to the real estate agent for, you know, really wanting to sell it. Through the pictures.
Wanting the buyer to know what they were getting.
I would hire her to sell my house, because she got some get up and go. She was all about it. So, yeah, I'd hire her.
Yeah, no, but again, this could just go back to staging. I mean, do you get the furniture in the house? I didn't read it.
No, it came furnished.
Oh, okay.
It did came furnished. So you got the cage under
and
the bed.
And damn, it had a nice exercise room.
Yes,
it did.
Like
a legit exercise room.
Well, you gotta be ready to roll. I mean,
you gotta have some stamina, I guess.
You can't be unfit to be put in the stock.
Did it have a pool out back? Did I see a deck?
I think it had a pool. I mean, the yard was nice.
It went deep into this.
For $750,000, I'm telling you, definitely a deal. Allegedly. Oh, you didn't. You didn't.
Yeah,
you did.
You kind of did.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm sure somebody will buy it. And actually, I bet they buy it above asking price.
Of course they
will. And props to that realtor for getting a commission.
Absolutely.
So,
6%.
There you go. All right. This next story, man, I saw this and I was like, yeah, we got to do this. Just because I know you people, and I especially know Chad. I was like, man, it sounds like something Chad would actually, I don't know about doing public, but probably do in your house anyway.
Oh, my God.
The Lord.
Oh, yeah. I'll say it in public all the time.
I don't know what's getting ready to happen here.
So, and then we got to go to how dumb are people. But, you know, in this day and age, I guess, you know.
Well, we're very dumb.
You got to be cautious.
Shitty bourbon.
So, Kansas man causes panic at a Home Depot by declaring that he was going to blow up the bathroom, and this is his exact quote. Quote, you all need to get out of here because I'm fixing to blow it up.
I say that too, but I usually say I'm fixing to blow this bitch up, right? So,
No,
if I hear somebody say they're getting ready to blow up the bathroom, I'm probably getting out of the bathroom. I don't know if I'm calling 911. Maybe that's me.
Yeah, in today's day and age,
No, I get that. But, I mean, who hasn't said I'm about ready to go blow this bathroom up?
Oh, I agree. I totally agree.
I never fixing say up. That. I never say
fixing.
That.
I mean, after Taco Bell or, you know, night out with beer and Taco Bell, something like that. But I think, too, you've got to be careful what you say in public anymore.
I guess. I just, you know, to me, it's just kind of, it's humorous. I can see where somebody might take that way. But in the end, I feel like it's worthy of a good laugh. If somebody shows up and you're like, oh, wow, I could see how you could misconstrue that. But, you know, it happens all the time.
Chad.
Yeah, I've been guilty of saying that a million times. And people know what I mean, and they generally clear the
course. And we all run. We run. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, but in like a public place, though, like in a bathroom that nobody knew you,
yeah, I would totally say that. Yeah, I just, yeah.
Probably not an airport, though.
Yeah, that would be a mistake. Yeah.
John?
I don't think it's abnormal for people to do that. Like, especially saying it to friends, because what happened, I'm sure, was somebody overheard it. And it...
I think he said it, like, more than once, though.
Did he write it?
I don't think that's abnormal.
No, he just said it.
He just said it, because I guess somebody was written down for the police what he had said.
I think also it might depend on how you're saying it. You know, if you're like, man, I'm about to blow this place up, or...
Well, that's true.
Yeah, or...
Or if you're strapped with C4 in a bathroom.
And ball bearings, I'm thinking that's a bad thing.
If it's 70 degrees and you're wearing a long overcoat and you're going with a look in your eye, I'm about to blow this place up, that's
no
different.
Yeah, but yeah, I guess. I guess this is where we are today.
It is. I thought it was funny. I mean, I thought it was hilarious. I thought the whole thing was hilarious. Yeah. And the police were just like, yeah, this was not.
Because you know what? They're cops. We know what kind of cop humor's out there. They probably say that 5 times a day in a car with somebody.
Yeah, it just shows you the level of dumb shit they probably have to deal with.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. But again, I do think that people hear that nowadays and you panic. I mean, you absolutely panic. So don't panic, especially in a bathroom. If you hear it in a bathroom. There you go.
I'm going to say, you all right, buddy?
I'll probably vacate. If it was in a women's bathroom, I'll vacate.
And we have discussed women's restrooms on this show many a time.
We have, and they are not
pleasant.
Sanitary. Mm-hmm. Let's just put it that way. Not at all. All right. I want to talk a little bit about, I think let's skip the sports. Let's skip the sports.
Sports ball.
I always like to talk about sports topics on this show.
Can I just say one thing? I'm depressed by this bad bourbon. Ugh. It's kind of like sucked the life out of me.
It's pretty awful.
It is. Come on, man.
We'll get it done. But I'm just sitting here thinking, oh my.
And actually,
this show should be called Opinions and Bad Bourbon.
And Worse Bourbon. Opinions and Worse Bourbon. Thanks, Rob.
You got to mix it up every once in a while.
I agree.
This is what we're going
with. Did you come up with this idea on Tuesday? Because this was not a good
thing. No, this is like a month ago. This has been percolating for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, like I said, after I read the article, I'm like, oh, I've had that, and that's horrible. And it was like number 8 on this list. I'm like, we can do our own bad list.
But again, shout out to...
Let me tell you, the only thing getting me through this is knowing it can't get any worse than this.
There you go.
Because I've just tried 5 of the worst products on the market.
All right. Well, let's get into talking about some sports.
Even though we said we're not going to do sports?
No, I said we're going to do sports.
Oh, I thought you said we're not going to do sports.
No. I said
we're going
to do sports.
Somebody is the HBIC, and you need to listen, sir.
I'm sorry.
I said we're going to get to sports if we have time to do sports, and we do have time to do
sports.
We're
going to get there.
So there you go. Okay. So there is this new football league that it just started last week, and apparently Rob was unaware of this. Chad was also unaware of it.
I was too, except, you know, I saw the ad, and then I'm like, and I was crying about no football Monday, and I realized there was football Saturday and Sunday, and I didn't watch any of it.
It was mind-boggling to me that there was, I guess, professional level football on, and I had no idea that it was not on.
Well, it's the AAF. It's the American Alliance of Football, and it's pretty interesting. There's no kickoffs. There's no extra points. So you automatically get the ball. You have to go for 2. So if you score, you have to go for 2, and the other team gets the ball at the 25-yard line. So there's no kickoffs, no extra points. Refs have seemingly kept flags in their pockets. I mean, there have been some big hits. There have been, you know, there is something called the sky judge that can basically overturn player safety calls and other calls like within 5 minutes of the quarter.
Is that right? The sky judge allows to overturn egregious calls.
Okay, egregious.
So,
calls.
Like the Saints, yes. Over chain.
Yes.
Interesting that you said that. Because yes, that's exactly what happens. What I will say is, in practice, this sky judge also, you see the person. They have a name.
Oh, do they?
And you hear their communication.
Sweet.
It was on last night, and this is the first time that I was in a place where I could hear it. So this dude's standing there. He's just dressed in a suit. He's watching it, and he said, "The call on the field will stand because we don't have definitive video evidence."
Oh, that's nice.
So then he's talking to the referee, and on the field they say the call stands, so-and-so gets the ball.
But it's also made up of coaches who used to be in the NFL,
Dennis
Erickson,
Mike Singletary.
So, Heinz Ward is the director of player development for the entire league. Bill Polian is involved in the whole thing. So we're sitting out at a bar the first night that this came on, and as they started scrolling through this, in my mind I'm like, oh, that's where these people went. These people left the NFL, aged out, whatever. That's where they are now. So we're talking about it, and I'm like, yeah, this is kind of interesting. Then they go through these rules, and I told Carrie at the time, I said, I'm telling you, this is the testing ground for all the things they want to do in the NFL. The no kickoffs, the sky judge. Yeah. So that, because essentially the sky judge rule is, if I'm watching at home and I can see because I see 25 angles, see that you're wrong, a la the Saints game.
Yeah.
This guy steps in and corrects it, so there's not that bad taste in your mouth in the end where people are still angry over it.
And, you know, there's teams in Memphis, Birmingham, Orlando, San Antonio, I think, and there's a couple
Utah
out west, Utah,
yeah.
But my guess, Salt Lake City, my question is to the collective round table here, is can this league finally last? Is this a league, another football league? Because we've seen them come and go over the years, right? And can this one last? Because there's a bunch of different aspects going on here, I think, in terms of this one versus like the XFL from so many years ago. So you've got the social media aspect, which I've seen pushing hard on social media. There's already people podcasting about the AAF.
Wow.
I agree with John that it is, I think, an NFL laboratory.
Oh, it
in
has
terms
to be.
Of that,
you got Polian and all those people,
right?
And it's even airing on the NFL
it's
Network.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Right.
It's airing on the NFL Network.
But I still come back to my whole thing. Fans of football, and Rob, I know you quit watching the NFL, Chad, I know you did too. But fans of football in general, which we were all of college football anyway. Do we really? They say they want football year round, and they say, "Oh, football's over." But do we really want that? Because this is a 10-week season; it'll be over in April. But do we really want that? Because I think the fun of football is, you know, college is 13 weeks, NFL is 16 weeks, or whatever it is, plus playoffs. But there's that finite period of time, and you can get excited about it. It's anticipation.
Yeah. No, there's a couple things. One, I think, because fantasy football, you can, it makes the sport bigger than it is at this point for people that watch and don't watch, because you can create a team. You know, people want to get involved in that. Gambling always at the forefront. There's lines on these games. Because it has to have some NFL backing, they obviously aren't afraid of it. I'll be more interested to see when the XFL comes online in 2 more years, what happens then. But ultimately, no, I don't think you can sustain 2 or 3 high-level football team because the talent's not there.
I think you mentioned XFL, and I think this league crushes the XFL because it has the NFL ties. You know, so what that's going to do is probably send the fourth-tier players to the XFL, but everybody who's 2 or 3 just needs a chance to prove themselves. That was one of the things I loved about the NFL Europe. It was American football, but you got to see a lot of people get a chance, and it wasn't like Canadian football where the rules are totally different. And it could apply to that. So I think this may be the next iteration of the NFL Europe, and it may stick around longer because it's based here.
Yeah, real quick comments. No, to your point, I don't want to see things all year round. I do like the seasonality of certain sports. I mean, the other thing that John was kind of alluding to, so you get to see this, like, sky judge or whatever. I think that's cool because it feels like, for the home viewers and things, like, it gives you a sense of agency.
Yes.
Like, you're not just being scammed. Like, it's going off to some booth, and they're just arbitrarily making a decision that's best for the league or best for the outcome or best for Vegas or I don't know, allegedly, right? So, that's kind of – I think that's a great thing to do.
So, as you say, I'm not stuck listening to Brent Musburger's opinion as to what goes on while the whole time he's sitting there talking about the lions and his friends in the desert and that kind of thing. Not that I'm against that. I'm just saying that there's a transparency there that I think is good for the viewer. especially coming on the heels of what many people believe was an NFC championship game that shouldn't have, the outcome should not have been what it was.
Yeah.
Now, right or wrong, there are people that believe it.
Now, are the referees in this league talking to the media? Because that would probably be the biggest thing.
I don't think so.
Not that I'm aware of. They are the worst dressed people I've ever seen in life.
Okay. Their uniforms are terrible.
They're awful.
And even at the fact that you have referees talking to the media in NBA or in NHL or NFL, what does it matter? They've already made the call. They're walking out of the building. If there's, and there's always been a human element to sports, but now we have HDTV. It's so clear when these things happen. When you watch a play real time, it's difficult when you look at it. But when you super slow motion, these things are so easy to see, and it's so clear now. I mean, think about watching the Cowboys and the Steelers in 78 on your 25-inch color TV that had like 5 pixels.
Oh, color, bro.
Yeah, I mean.
Who had color?
Black and white, son. Black and white.
Had to go out there and turn the antenna, man.
Yeah. Oh, the motorized thing. Yeah. We had one of those. You turn the dial, you could hear the motor go.
Oh.
Yeah, that was my best.
That is bougie. That's a bougie right there.
It's so easy for us to sit around and be like, man, that was a horrible call. Yeah. But in reality, that's not the way it played out. It goes boom. Those guys are so fast, so quick.
The thing, that's what I appreciate. That everybody knows I'm a big PGA fan. I love watching golf. I've become my dad, apparently. But the fact that they actually they went back on their decision a year or so ago, and they stopped allowing people to call in.
Right, which is so stupid. Right. That was the whole...
You can see stuff at home that they can't see there, right?
Right, because who was it that got screwed by that?
Several people.
No, but I'm thinking...
Tiger was called out.
Yeah. Tiger did,
and
but...
Phil Mickelson, I think, got Todd called out.
What's his name?
I thought...
The guy that just won the... Or no,
was it Rory?
I thought there was a woman that got screwed.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I was going to say Anakin, but it wasn't her.
It was her, because she was like the first high case of this, I think, when she had her resurgence. There was somebody else... A Korean golfer recently.
That's who I was. Well, I read an interesting article talking about how the fact that now sportsbook is completely legal across the United States in every state, it's whatever, could make these leagues viable because people want to gamble, and especially, I guess, on football.
So one thing I will say is I do think that'll be a driving force in this. One thing we didn't talk about is the idea of seasonality of sport. I agree with that. It is a 10-week league, as I remember.
It is.
So it's going to take you from the week after the Super Bowl into basically March Madness or the Masters, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's not going to be all summer.
Yeah, and you're not competing with those sports.
Right. But it's designed. What I love about it is I do think it was clear on opening night. They had Kurt Warner out there talking about his career and how he was with the Iowa, God knows whoever they were.
Barnstormers in the Arena Football League.
And then he went all the way to the league and he had a Super Bowl ring and all that kind of stuff. So they talked about these kids, this is an opportunity for these kids to show what they can do and to get back in the league, or they weren't given a chance to kind of get to that league. So I think that's going to be selling it. It's basically a training ground for the NFL because all this money's behind it. That's what's going to keep it from failing is the money.
And the conspiratorial side of me says the NFL did this because the XFL's coming out in 2 years. Let's get our product in the field in 1 year to even dilute that even more.
I think I can see that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you want to bet on AAF, you can go to mybookie.com and bet on AAF. I don't know what the lines are, but I'm sure there's lines out there because it's sports.
Yeah.
So, and it's professional sports or whatever. I guess that doesn't really make a difference. But go to mybookie.com and plug in the promo code BABO and through 12 Ounce Sports Radio. So yeah, go bet on AAF. And I think I'm hitching my wagon to Steve Spurrier because he's crazy. First of all, he's crazy.
Oh,
and second of all, he totally spurried it up in that first week. He beat the team 40-6. He ran the score up, and it was beautiful.
That is until he meets Mike Singletary.
And I loved it.
So here's the thing, and it's you get coaches like that. You get Dennis Erickson, you get Mike March, you get Mike Singletary. There's the HBC is back in the league, a 70-year-old man trolling the sidelines trying to screw people like he did Kentucky back in the day, but I've gotten over that.
I don't think he has.
No, Mike
Riley, after screwing Nebraska over, he got a job again, and against everything holy, the man won.
Well,
I don't get that.
And
either.
Of course, calling the games is Gary freaking Danielson, who is
that dude
just
needs a job.
Just kidding. You know,
you think they'll bring Vern out of retirement for this?
I don't think Uncle Vern's coming out of retirement. I think he's happy. He's at the ranch, knocking a few back.
Vern's good.
Yeah, Uncle Vern's not going anywhere.
I don't think Vern, I think Vern's kicking back drinking some good bourbon, not what we just had on the table. Oh, so let me tell you, first of all, Sean decided I think he was done and just spilled his all over the place. that happened. And
I'm worried about it eating through the table. I'm not kidding.
I actually.
Oh, there's, yeah, I'm a little concerned myself.
I finished mine. Chad, I think, drain poured most of it.
I drain poured three of the five.
All right. Rob, I'm going to let you go ahead and however you want to do this. I didn't fill out a card, but I can at least tell you in my head which ones
and
rate.
And I think the scores I bear out here. Let's see. The bourbon I brought, which is a 7-year, 100 proof.
Oh.
It's called Virgin Bourbon. It was out of North Carolina. It's basically the Ezra 7-year 101.
Yeah.
Was the winner. Chad, you came in second at 2.3.
Huh. Interesting.
Let's see. John, you came in third with a 2.67.
Okay, something's wrong with the people at this table because that I couldn't vote for mine worst because I was blacked out.
Yeah, you weren't allowed.
It was blocked, but let me tell you what.
Oh, okay,
tasted was one of the worst things I've ever had in my life.
Kerry came in at 2.75, so fourth place.
Benchmark,
and Sean was the clear loser.
Yeah.
At 3.67.
I went straight for the kill shot.
All right.
I'm shocked that Old Crow. I was thinking worse. I was thinking like that.
So, real quick. So
is that
just
a plastic bottle?
Yes, sir.
It's the Old Crow Traveler.
Just to go around the table. Rob, you brought the Virgin Bourbon from North Carolina.
It's $12.99.
I saw that.
Charcoal filtered. Sean, you got the...
The Old Crow and the Traveler is like $8.99.
Okay. Chad.
Cabin Still, baby. Back in the day, this used to be like,
it was a good
one. The older Cabin Stills go for lots of money. I actually think Kevin Hill might make this now. This was a solid $9.99 bottle.
Nice.
All right, John?
Mine was the Very Old Barton, 80 proof. I would like to point out it says crafted on the neck. It doesn't say by whom or what.
Yeah.
It does not imply hands. And it gives the ultra confidence boosting statement, aged at least 36 months.
Absolutely.
It was not nearly enough.
Well, okay. So I got the Benchmark Old Number 8 brand. And this is actually made by Buffalo Trace.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, I know.
Okay, so Sean, what did you kind of score him at?
What did I kind of score him at?
Yeah.
I don't know. Where's my little card?
You spilled on it.
I drank all of them, and I'm thinking I couldn't even finish them. My notes are just like, no, hell no, no again. It was just awful. I couldn't do it.
Sorry. You can't even rank them?
I can't even rank them. I mean, there was just, I did like the Virginia bourbon, the Virgin bourbon. I did like that.
Okay.
And judging by the color.
Well, and it's 101 proof, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I went with. I mean, the one that Rob brought was clearing away better.
Right.
You know, the rest were just, I mean, you could have just thrown a dart at a wall and just said they're equally as awful.
Yeah. And the funny thing on me is I've seen Benchmark high on these lists.
Right.
And I'm like,
seen that before too.
You know, and again, I think I scored Kerry second. I thought the Barton to me was better than the Benchmark.
And
Benchmark
is like $8.50.
Yeah.
$8.50 for a bottle.
Yeah. I mean, none of these are running away with any awards.
The thing about the Benchmark is that they flavor that.
And it shows. I think it shows.
Not that one, though. But yeah,
they have flavored versions. But lots of people do that.
They should.
So, John, what did you – how did you –
Well, because by far I thought that Rob's was the best. It was one of those things that I nothing was good necessarily. The fact that got me, there was no nose on any of these. Like,
No.
I tried and tried. There were some that left a lingering, unpleasant flavor.
Would you call it cloying?
Acidic.
Was it cloying?
It was close.
Cloying.
I can tell you that some of them, the mere fact that they lingered, what flavor they had, I really thought that Rob's was the best. I did actually like the Cabin Still, believe it or not.
Yeah, no, I gave it that
second.
Yeah, I
would have voted for mine for second if I could have.
I'm also shocked that nobody brought any Mellow Corn because we'd reviewed that before and liked it.
I think that's why we reviewed it before.
And there were a couple Bottle and Bonds that I'm shocked that people didn't go to. I'm also really shocked that Old Crow was that bad.
Yeah. Okay. So
it was clearing away just like
this. Yeah, it was the loser of the group.
Rob, I think, and you can really tell by the color too on Rob's, is that I actually did like this. I like, and again, you said you're gonna have the best one, and I absolutely agree. I think that Very Old Burton had zero flavor. It tasted like water to me.
I've had a bottle of that recently. I don't know why I picked it up, but it was the same thing I felt. It was like no flavor.
See, I had really smooth, and it was pretty sweet.
I got zero. It was like water.
Well, funny thing on that, also reading some other bourbon blogs, there was apparently an old Very Old Burton 90 that was supposed to be just outstanding bourbon, but they don't make it anymore.
So everybody
story
had
of
an,
my life.
Hold on, what's supposed an 80. To be outstanding bourbon?
It was a Very Old Burton 90 proof.
Oh, yeah.
And they had the Bottle and Bond, which we had, and it wasn't, you know, anything to write home about. But
so you said that's Luxor, that's Ezra product, basically?
Yeah.
I've always liked old seven-year old Ezra. Yeah.
I thought the Barn Still was, I'd probably give that a 2.
Cabin Still.
Or Cabin, Cabin Still, yeah. Whatever. Barn Still, Cabin Still.
Far and away, the second best for me on the table.
That Old Crow
was
the Cabin Still.
Yeah.
The Old Crow was caustic.
I wouldn't even mix that with Coke.
Maybe it's because it's in the plastic bottle.
It would ruin Coke and a plastic
It would.
Bottle.
But yeah, no, you can't get it in the Traveler.
Funny, older Old Crow, some of the best whiskey in the world.
Oh, yes, because this is what my grandfather drank for years. I have one of his old glasses, an Old Crow glass. He drank that for years. It's the only whiskey he ever drank.
I'm trying to think. I have a bottle at the house. I mean, it's not super old, but it's probably 10 or 12 years old.
No, I'm talking like
I know what you're talking about. 60s,
right,
I've had it recently, and I don't remember it being, you know, that bad.
So I think we're going to have to do one of these again. We're going to have to do another one.
Can we step up the dollar?
Yes.
No, and again.
We do a $20.
Can we do anything over $200?
Yeah, sure. No, and this was kind of the idea. I think the sweet spot here would be somewhere in between
20 and 30.
25, 30, yeah. Somewhere in that. So then people can go for some little better product. But I wanted to do this because, like I said, you see all these articles. I've seen some of
you
these.
You wanted to do this because you hate us.
Yes. But I saw all of these articles saying how great these were, and I just thought it'd be fun to get a table full of people who drink bourbon on the regular to go, yeah, they're really not that great.
No.
Well, the one interesting thing about this is John gets 4 or 5 new party tricks, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He's going to kill people. He's going to kill.
We're going to make everybody drink these at
but
the Derby party.
I will say that I love the idea. I really enjoyed the concept, and if nothing else, we drank them so you don't have to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and I think I stand by what I said, we have found a worse eye off.
That's
man.
Bad. Yeah. That's bad. Yeah,
it's really bad.
It's BPA
it's more bad
than plastic.
I don't know.
It's the worst.
Blame it on the plastic.
I gotta say, yeah. I mean, that might be the new one. That might be the new low.
It's the worstest.
Thank you. I went for the kill shot, and I accomplished. My
you
mission.
Did, Sean. You
Sean
did.
Just wanted to choke us out right from the get go.
That's exactly right. All right. So, any end of the show shout outs? Anyone?
I give some mid-show shout-outs. Yeah, I think we're good.
Yeah. Again, if you get a chance, do the Old Forester tour. It's fantastic. And if somebody wants to get you on a barrel pick, by all means, change your schedule up so you can go do it. It's clearly worth your time. It's so fun.
Yeah, but yeah, great facility. Great time there. Everybody was just really friendly. Loved it.
All right, John, any end of the show shout outs?
I'd like to shout out the South Carolina fans who now have to watch Spurrier coach again after their program in ruins. They need some help.
Oh, and shout out to Tennessee fans who thought that they were going to win last night.
Ball for life, yo.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love when they cry in their orange juice.
That was a good beatdown.
Mm. Oh, it was awesome.
It's quality. All right, well, I guess that's going to do it for this show. So, yeah. So, Gotcha, go out there and get you some under $15.
Don't do it.
Or don't.
If you can find it, buy the Heaven Hill 6 Bottled and Bond. If there's still any on the shelves, you got a good
I will still stand by the J.W. Dant as a great mixer.
I agree.
And, you know, again, the Mellow Corn that we tried was good. I thought somebody was going to bring some of that to the table. I think there are
better.
But it's
a whiskey. You said bourbon. You said we're doing bourbon.
Yeah, you did. You did say bourbon.
I think that there are better undervalued products out there, but none of these make that cut.
Oh, no, not at all.
We've eliminated these.
Yes.
Continue
totally.
Our search.
I still go with Virgin Bourbon.
The search goes on. All right. So, and as always, you can find us on Twitter at Podcast BABO. We're on Instagram. We're on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We're on Podbean. We're wherever good bourbon is sold, not bad bourbon. Good bourbon.
And sometimes
good
bad bourbon.
Good bourbon. And as always, we will see you next time. See ya.
Bye.
Peace.